off now to Kyrie. Horford sets the screen. That frees Kyrie for a three, and he drills it.
This is Kyrie Irving.
Oh, that was pretty to watch. Moves it back to Kyrie for a corner three, and that's good. But Kyrie is locked in right now.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tickets at 11:50. Giving away tickets to tonight's game.
Nice.
At the Garden. A must-win game for the Bruins, if you ask me. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe at 11:20. Tickets at 11:50. Your calls right now. Alan Everett on the Celtics last night. Hey, Al.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Doing
great.
Great. I listen pretty much when I'm in the car, and I also watch on TV, the Nesson channel. You know, you guys are associated with them, correct?
No. Nesson? No,
no.
We're not on Nesson.
No?
Nope.
No.
What? Who are those guys? Salgo and Mez or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. They're on some show.
So one of these guys I quote said, it was about 2 weeks ago, and they awoken the beast in LeBron James. They said that Ben Simmons is the real deal. Ben Simmons, we don't need you, LeBron, no more, because Ben Simmons is the new NBA star. So they have awoken the beast, and I'm a big Celtics fan.
Nice.
So and he's a beast. He's been a beast the last series, and ever since he was on this radio station, which I listen to all the time when I'm in the car.
Awesome.
Because I do Uber and Lyft and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
So
which one do you like better?
Okay. Thanks, Al. Appreciate the call. Ben Simmons, now that the...
That's
I guess
a mask.
The road
is he trying to claim that Felger and Maz woke up LeBron?
I don't know what he said. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Felger and Miz.
Miz. The Miz.
On Nesson.
The Miz is a wrestler.
On Nesson, according to him.
He watches us every day.
Every day he watches, but the Miz. That's a mask comment.
I don't know.
That's a
mass
comment.
I don't know whose comment it was.
I think I remember. I'm not sure. I don't want to put words in
Mass's mouth.
I
don't know.
I think that's mass.
Listen, is Ben Simmons a talented player? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yep. Does he have a bright future?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he ready for this stage?
Not yet.
Where he's got real opposition?
You know who is?
He will be at home. He will be in game
three
or four.
Yes, he will.
He'll be juiced.
I'm on the road against a team that is well-coached and ready to play. No, he ain't ready for it.
You know who's ready for it?
He's not.
Chugga chugga choo choo. He's coming, boys. He had him a day yesterday. LeBron James did. That was a blowout.
You know who is ready for it? And again, Jason Tatum looks very much ready for this stage.
I'll take it.
Can tell you that.
Let's go. Head
but
to head.
But no,
baby.
Jim, you're right. Things are going to change a little bit when they go to Philadelphia. And so you say, you think the series is over?
I think they're going to win in six.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there.
I don't think they're sweeping. They're
not sweep not ready to go there.
I think Celtics win us in six. You're up 2-0. You control the series. You got to go down there, find a way to still win, and close it out in six.
I think you could go down there, and Philadelphia takes the next two, and you're tied up at 2-2, and you've got a best of three.
There's quit in that Philadelphia team, though. I've seen quit in them now for two games. If there's quit in them within a game, there's going to be quit in them within this series.
That's a DNA thing. It's a character flaw.
Yeah.
That's a team character
flaw. And whether
you're
it's
right.
coaching, whether it's within the guys on the team, or just the attitude and the whole atmosphere of that team right now, whatever it is, they've got quit in them.
It's like the David Price character flaw. When things are going bad, you know the guy's going to cave.
I'm not going to relate this to David Price
now. But you can relate it to teams. You can relate it to individuals. Some guys have it, and some guys don't.
But you see them going down there and closing them out in Philly in a game six?
That would be so great. For all the hate they're going to build up by that point,
but that also means they're winning two of their next three in Philadelphia.
Well, they got to win at least one on the road here. I mean, they haven't won that. They haven't done that yet.
That means they got three games coming up in Philly, and you think they're going to win two of the three down there. That's not an easy ask. It's not. It will be harder playing there. You have to imagine that Philadelphia is going to get their head out of their behind at some point here.
Yeah, you also tighten up when you're down 0-2, too. When you're young and... you don't have that gene that we're talking about, and you see that quit, you start doubting yourself. You hear that Ben Simmons comments? It doesn't sound like a confident guy. LeBron, when he was having rough times and he was asked questions about it, what do you do? He laughed at you. You're asking me about a regular season game. Dude, I've been to six straight finals, NBA finals, okay? Get out of here.
I wouldn't say six. Yeah. I'd say it's more likely five.
Oh!
You know what?
What's wrong with... Okay, they blew him out in game one. They overcame a 22-point deficit in game two. Tell you what, let's give them the split in Philadelphia over the next two games. Celtics come home and win it.
Do you think it's been easy for the Celtics to win these two games?
Nope. Well, the first one was,
At times, it looks easy for them.
The first one
I don't think it's been easy.
The first one was easy.
I don't know. When momentum gets going in their favor, it's seamless. And, you know, the other team's burning timeouts, and they're laughing, and they're doing the chest bumping, and that they feel it. The Celtics feel it when they're rolling. I don't see any of that from Philly.
Yeah, but that 20-point lead might have got to 30 if they were in Philly. Because of the same thing, that momentum and the crowd going
nuts.
Yeah,
and then you're down 30 on the road.
All right.
Jason and Lowell. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
I understand it's going to be very hard in Philly, especially with the Philly fans. I understand that we need to see this team win at least one game on the road, but Felger always says it's about the stars. It's about the stars in the playoffs.
Why are we doing Felger? I don't know. Why are we doing that?
Call them at 2.
2 p.m.
2
p.m. Yeah, 2
Felger
calls
miss.
Out of the gate.
Felger and Miz
You want to talk to them about it, call them about it.
Yeah. They'll beat the Garden.
Call them. 2 p.m. Same number. So call. Just hit same number.
Yeah, call there. Chirp
call
Murray.
Back at like 1:55. Get yourself on the board.
Chirp Catboy.
They'll release the hounds right away today.
Yeah, right, Jimmy. I heard them say the other day, they're a caller-driven show.
Yep.
So,
but they were bitching about the sound of the
callers. Let it rip on Felger and Mez at 2 o'clock.
Felger and Mez?
Felger and Mez.
Oh, they were good yesterday.
Ronald and Lawrence. Hi, Ronald.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, what up? So I got a couple of questions for you guys. First of all, see what you guys see with this Celtics team. Hypothetically, if they had a full roster, do you think they'll be good enough to compete against the Warriors or the Rockets in the NBA Finals?
I don't know. We've never seen it.
Yeah, well, I haven't either.
I'd say yes.
Just hypothetically, though.
Well, yeah, hypothetically, the way it's trending and who the coach is and those guys that are out that are going to be back, I would say yes.
Possibly. Compete? Yes. Could they win?
Yes.
I don't know.
There's your yes.
But it's not as if we had, even if we had had a full regular season of watching everybody be healthy and everybody play, Hayward included, you still would be sitting here saying, are they going to be good enough? Are they going to be good enough if they get to the finals? Can we talk about this series? Do they have to win on the road? I don't think they do.
Yeah. Let's talk about this series.
I don't think the Celtics have to win on the road in this series. So, they got to show you one down.
2-2.
They don't
feel good about that. But
I could see this series going the same way the Bucks series did.
Yeah, Mr. Five over here.
I could see the Celtics gutting out, gritting out all their wins at home and getting by.
So the way this series started, you think it's now going to turn around, the Sixers take the next two games?
I think it's possible.
I'm kind of with Mr. Five over here.
Yes, of course, it's possible.
I think it's better than
they will.
Better than 50%.
You think they will?
You're talking hypothetically now.
I'm going to say 60-40 they do.
You think the Sixers take the next two games?
I love when we predict stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're going to 2-2 in this series.
Okay. I say, at worst, a split for the Celtics, and when they come home for Game 5, they win it then.
I think if they split down there, you should be doing backflips for your team if they split in Philadelphia, because that means that's when they are really in control.
If you
could take a 3-1 lead.
They're already in control.
If you have a 3-1 lead in this series, you are in great shape. Yeah. You're on your way. The same way Tampa Bay will be on their way if they get a win tonight and go up 3-1 over your Boston Bruins at the Garden. We're going to be talking to Billy Jaffe about that up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Char will rattle it back in. It's a 5-on-5 with the goalie pull. Here is Strawman holding onto the puck by the Lightning net. Left wing to Victor Hedman. Turns to JT Miller. Got it out to center ice and Stamkos. Shoots it toward the open net. Score! Dagger! Stamkos! 4-1 Lightning! With 41.2 seconds left.
Yeah.
get the monkey off his back. You can see the reaction from his teammates. He identifies it. He's not going to miss from there. It's Steven Stamkos, and he puts it home. Your pillow will be softer if you're Steven Stamkos. The food will be warmer, and the sunshine will be brighter tomorrow for him as he looks up. And this building has been a bugaboo for him.
Welcome in Billy Jaffe to talk about tonight's Bruins game against the Lightning. Billy, is it a must-win?
Sure.
Oh, Billy.
Thanks, Bill. Talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time, Bill. All right. That's Billy Jaffe. We appreciate his efforts today here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Is he gone?
No, okay. Go ahead, Billy.
It's win time. It is, absolutely. And this, no question about
it. So convincing.
You know?
Billy, line changes. We're hearing Ryan Donato is going to be in for the Bruins tonight. How much of a difference will it make?
Well, hopefully significant difference just from just an adrenaline boost. The crowd will be, we know, they'll be loving seeing him out on the ice, hometown boy. I mean, hopefully it makes a big difference in the sense of it gives them just a little bit different feel. I mean, the thing that you got to be cautious about, though, Beetle, is, you know, it makes a big difference, but, you know, hypothetically speaking, what if somebody else can't play due to injury? Now, it sounds like DeBrusk is fine to play. It seems like Marchand is all right to play, but I guess you don't know until, you know, 7 o'clock or so.
All right.
Maybe, a little before that.
Well, assuming health for both, where do you slot in Donato?
Yeah, that's the question that, I've been asked numerous times now. You either put him on the wing. If you want to give him the best chance to produce, you put him on the left wing side, and it's either going to be with Krejci, or it's going to be, I'm assuming that Riley Nash stays in. It doesn't seem like that makes as much sense given the speed factor if it's Riley Nash at the center and Backes is the right wing, Donato would be, much faster than them. But I mean, do you try Rick Nash back down with Riley Nash and Backes like you did a couple of games ago, and you put Donato up there? It seems to me that, again, if they want to give him the best opportunity, they find the left side for him with Krejci, and then they work the right side, whether it's Rick Nash or Jake DeBrusk over there.
You think Rick Nash is taking a step backwards? Or is it just...
I thought he did, and then I rewatched the condensed game a little while ago, and, in the second and third period, Rick Nash had a couple of great chances. Krejci actually set up him. He set up McAvoy. Actually set up Rick Nash two times. And did he take a step back? I mean, he's still getting his chances. Did he finish like he did in game one? Obviously, no, so. But he's still getting his chances. So, it's repetitive. You just want him
no, to but I mean, like, he got jacked up on that Bergeron goal. And then, like, Backes is skating with an edge. And you need that. But if you're not going to... Say you do win a physical game, but you can't score. Is Backes chasing too?
Yeah,
yeah.
He is right now. He admitted it yesterday in his press time. That he didn't play well. Okay, he took ownership for it. Now they got to do something about it. I mean, here's the thing: the Bruins didn't become this bad team all of a sudden. They didn't. But they aren't playing well. I think you guys know that. You guys have followed the team like we have all year. They got to get it out of their heads. There seems to be this thrust that they're just not that good right now. And they played Tampa very well during the season, even at times when Tampa was, quote-unquote, the better team. So they got to use that. But there's a mind block right now, and they're not moving the puck nearly as quickly as they used to. We said all along, the Bruins are a faster team. We wouldn't call them an incredibly fast team overall, but they played much faster this year. They haven't been able to achieve that in the last two games.
We're talking with Billy Jaffe and Nesson about this series game coming up tonight between the Bruins and Lightning, which you can hear right here on the Sports Hub.
Hey, Billy, can we just put this to rest right now? The notion that Steven Stamkos has somehow got the monkey off his back because he got the empty netter at the end of the game in a 5-on-5. Everyone's turning cartwheels for him. At least they were on one of the broadcasts saying,
Pierre.
Oh, he's got everything's going to be so much better in his life now that he finally had. He didn't score a goal in this building. Not really.
No, he didn't. And, he had a smile on his face. And I think that's what people get caught up in, you know, Hardy. They say, oh, well, it's going to be better. You've heard it's a very big time hockey cliche. It, an empty net goal might not mean a lot, but if it makes you feel good type of thing, it could mean, who knows? I mean, Stamkos is an all world player. So if he scores tonight, I don't think it's because he scored an empty net goal.
Thank you. That's all we wanted.
It's because he's a damn good player when he wants to, when he plays on the inside. And he gets going. If he had missed that empty net goal right there, everybody, you're telling me that the announcers would have been like, see, he can't even score on an empty net.
I mean, from mid ice, who knows? I mean, you think so, but not. But even more so than like if he scores tonight, is it because of that? No. But what I want in my head, and I want reinforced by you, is that. He's not feeling better about himself right now because of that. And I don't want him feeling better about himself.
No, he's feeling better about himself because his team that he's a leader on has played very well the last two games.
Sure.
That's why he's feeling better about himself. On the personal level, he's feeling better that he scored an empty net goal. Maybe he's I say it a lot, guys that score goals like to score. I mean, they like to get the cookies, right?
That's
the hockey thing. So if he feels better because he got a little cookie, maybe, I guess, but does that mean he's going to score tonight? I'm not a part of that.
Right. Okay.
Why do you think that top line has had such trouble producing in this series? Is it all about the Bruins? Is it all about that top D pairing for the Bruins that's sort of shut them down?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I do. I think that they've done a nice job. I haven't seen a ton of middle of the ice play from Kucherov. He gets a few chances. He obviously got the breakaway the other day, Beadle. It was a nice save by Tuukka Rask off the blocker side. But I haven't seen him control the puck internally as much as he did during the regular season. He was very physical against New Jersey, and we've only seen a little bit of that in this series. Maybe he's dinged up a little bit. JT Miller is their left winger. He plays a crash-and-bang style. I've noticed him a bit at times working the wall, getting pucks for those two guys. But I think a lot of it does come back to Chara and McAvoy.
All right, Billy. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it, Bill.
All right, guys. Be good.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, Billy Jaffe joining us on the AT&T Expert Hotline. We have tickets for this game coming up at 11:50 this morning. So that is about 21 minutes from now.
Wow.
So they're giving away a pair of tickets to Game 4 tonight.
Tough ticket.
Friday night Bruins game. You don't get too many of those.
Friday night second round playoffs.
Get hammered tonight. Fred's going to be there. Slap him around.
You're gonna go to the game?
No.
Or you're just saying if you win the ticket.
Are you going to the game, Hardy?
I am not going to the game.
You okay, Zoe? So I was a little muted since the incident. I don't know if you heard it end of our last segment. I think it went over the air. Do you have it? Can you play it?
That's why Tom and I are cracking up hysterically.
Can you play it? Can you please play it?
Hang on 1 second.
Play the sound in a minute.
Zoe got shocked by the microphone. He went to move the microphone. He got shocked by it.
I can tell you that based on his reaction, I knew right away something serious had happened. He was not messing around.
I thought he had, accidentally, bit his own foot.
No, I knew right away that.
You ever go like.
I could tell by his reaction.
You ever touch a cow fence? Like one of those electric cow fences?
No, I haven't had the opportunity to.
It goes right to your elbow, man.
Okay.
All right, it comes out.
Here it is.
He touched the microphone at the end of the last segment just before we went to the break, and he got shocked.
Okay.
Tampa Bay will be on their way if they get a win tonight and go up 3-1 over your Boston Bruins at the Garden. We're going to be talking to Billy Jaffe about that up next.
It's funny, huh? Get a good lawyer. Was that Jim Sokoloff number? You've been hurt at work?
Talking to Billy Jaffe about that up next.
That ain't so messing around.
I just thought it was a typical sound thing. That's the same sound he makes, like, oh, I hit my ear up against the floor.
One more time before headlines, Jim, please. Talking to Billy Jaffe about that coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics overcame a huge first half deficit to beat the Sixers last night, 108-103 at the TD Garden. They're now up
an electric win. An electric win.
Up to nothing in the best of seven. Jason Tatum, 21 points, led all Celtics scorers. Game three tomorrow afternoon, 5 p.m. in Philadelphia. Just talked to Billy Jaffe. Don't know where he's going to play, but Ryan Donato's going to play. Bruce Cassidy confirmed it, that Donato is in for tonight's Game 4, Bruins against the Lightning at the TD Garden. The Bees are down 2-1 in that series. Puck will drop just after 7 o'clock right here on the New England Honda Dealers 98.5, the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Red Sox fell to the Rangers in Texas last night, 11-5. Game 2 of the 4-game set happens tonight. Rick Porcello gets the start opposite Bartolo Colon. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Are they aliens?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, that's a nice. Quick turnaround. That's nice. I had just said, this room was is nearing the end of its usable life. Right?
That would I feel different.
Needs a refurb.
Yeah, like when they do a little, what's the paddle thing, the shock thing? They're the pads. Chest you.
The defibrillator.
Yes,
I feel a little different now.
We have one of those down the hall. If you want to try that out before the end of the day,
I think it was. I had a little arrhythmia, and I think I'm back in.
You were like Russell from Almost Famous.
I wish I was
from Stillwater.
Yeah, up on right. top the roof,
right? Fever dog.
Who was the guy who got electrocuted by the microphone at the podium dancing. At the old Foxborough Stadium, Jim?
What?
Who was that? Do you remember that?
Podium for what?
I remember the story, yeah.
Yes. You know who would know is Shaughnessy.
So you mean it was like a news conference?
Yeah, they
not
held,
a concert.
It was, what is it?
Yeah, it was done for one of the actors who were Screenwriter Guild.
There's a, well, in 1985, this is not the story I thought of. But there was a number of fans. Let me read you this story. December 23rd, 1985. The New England Patriots expressed sadness Monday that the enthusiasm turned into tragedy for five fans who were electrically shocked when a goalpost they were carrying struck a 20,000-volt power line.
Yeah, the fans took the goalpost out of
down
the,
route
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
That was a win.
They made the playoffs, right?
Yeah, that was the year they went to the Super Bowl.
I think that was like the playoff clinching win, and they carried the goalposts.
Well, three of the victims
squished the fish.
Three of the victims were in Norwood Hospital. Scott McKenzie, 20; Richard Page, 20. They were in fair condition.
Drunk.
Paul Semargeldis, 15, was described as good. Robert Abramson, 19, stable condition at Brigham and Women's, and John Palazzola, 26, in stable condition at New England Medical Center. All five sustained electrical burns to the hands and face.
Where were they taking the goalposts? Electric Avenue?
Thousands of fans poured onto the field and tore down the goalposts Sunday, carrying part of one of them out of Sullivan Stadium.
Brunsky's
the celebrants took
tonight.
The post through an exit tunnel behind the north end zone across the parking lot to nearby Route 1, where 600 marched down the highway, tying up traffic in both directions, carrying the goalpost,
that's
and awesome. Then they hit the power line.
Yeah, that's awesome. Perfect.
That's, and we have a recording from that day, and it sounded much like so.
Burns can use that same spark tonight.
And then there's a story that later they were awarded. One of them was awarded $3.25 million. Another one, $1.4 million.
Free 3 years at National Grid.
Because they sued the security company and the town of Foxborough.
They won what?
And they won millions of dollars. because they tore down the goalpost, marched down the street, got electrocuted by it, and then they sued and won.
I'm saying you police allowed them to march down the street, I guess.
How dare you allow us to do something so
Tom's
moronic.
Dad's listening. He said Clive Rush.
Clive Rush.
Tom's dad.
Tom's dad making his first appearance on the program ever.
Say that.
For the most Clive, random thing ever.
Tell my son Tom that.
Clive, thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Clive Rush was the guy. Get back to my sunglasses.
Clean these glasses.
So Clive Rush was the guy who got electrocuted.
Apparently. Why would Tom's dad lie to us about that?
Doesn't seem like a liar.
Doesn't seem like something, if you're going to chime into the show for the first time ever, wouldn't be about that to lie. So I'm going to trust him on that.
Here it is. Story from, I don't know where.
It's a little lightheaded now.
Here we go.
Because imagine if an NFL team, imagine if an NFL team hired a guy who won 8 games in 3 years at the University of Toledo over one of the all-time greats as his coach, then electrocuted him at a news conference the next day. This is the story of the New England Patriots.
Polarizing.
Yeah. He got electrocuted, much like Scott Zolak did today.
Sparky and the Beetle on the Sports Hub.
Yeah. He just want to stay plugged in.
Robert's in Miami. What do you got, Robert?
Hey, Zoe.
Yeah, man.
Fellow Terp here, so I know you.
Let's go, Terps.
A wonderful education.
Yes, sir.
Which makes it that much more confusing how you guys continue to talk about these NFL quarterback contracts. If you look back, I think that you could arguably say that the Pats over the last 18 years have had the best backups in the league. And if you look at all these teams that sink ridiculous amounts of money into whether a quarterback or a cornerback or a defensive lineman, if that guy gets hurt, you're done. And the reason the Pats are successful is something that Brady recognizes is that you need depth. I mean, you're one bad play away from losing your best player, if not a bunch of your best players, like the Pats did last year.
Yeah, but you also got to think about your position, the union. And what it does for you, and you remember when the league was going to be on strike at, and Brady was on the front of that lawsuit for the name, like, he wasn't one of the highest paid guys. You know, it's not Drew Brees. He's not Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers is going to get paid. He is going to get paid. You're going to laugh at this Matt Ryan contract when that one's done. I mean, and at some point, and this is the biggest point of it all, Brady will do what it takes to get depth and allow you to give back a little more, and he will not take the maximum. But damn it, don't make him miserable. Don't take away his guy. Don't take away his lifestyle, what he needs to do to be effective at 41. Because that's where he's starting to not feel appreciated. This is it, guys. This is it. This is a capper today. The Matt Ryan news. Like, it's hard to be critical of Brady after this one.
I'm more concerned with the microphone still.
Wait until the Aaron Rodgers ones come.
I have a good summary of it.
Guy's won.
Jerry Thornton's book, From Darkness to Dynasty.
Good book.
The Patriots held the press conference. Team brass and assembled media filled the conference room. It's Clive Rush's second day with the club. He'd met with the Boston media on his first day, and now the team has called this press conference to introduce their new GM, George Sauer, who they had hired to replace Ed McKeever. For the last 8 years, Sauer had also been with the Jets as director of player personnel, so Rush has the honor of introducing him. Rush steps to the podium, grabs the mic stand, and bzzz. The new head coach of the Patriots is standing there before the world with 120 volts of electric death running up his arm. Everyone looks on, jaws open, frozen in horror, not knowing how to react. Through some bizarre wiring mishap, the microphone was connected to a wall outlet. Fortunately for Rush, and for whatever insurance company handled the Pats' workman's comp claims, one man keeps his wits about him. Team director Danny Marr pulls the plug and probably saved Rush's life in the process.
What if I didn't pull my hand
went
off?
Went up to the wall, pulled the plug out of the wall.
What if I didn't pull my hand off?
I wasn't going to touch you. I mean, you get all that those volts of power running through you.
What if it stayed attached to me? Like
I'm not going to touch you.
What if it melted to my hand? Would you have separated it from my hand?
No. Because then my hand would be right there with you.
About our boy Five.
I'd run to the hallway, and there's, I think there's some breakers on the wall out there. Probably flip those off.
Well, didn't Maz come in with the vacuum one day and kill the whole studio?
Yes, he could just turn the mic off from in here, and it probably would have solved it.
Does that kill the power? The power that's running through it? I mean, is this a wiring mishap?
Try it now. Turn my mic off. Go ahead. One,
two, three, four, five, six. Yeah.
I'm not grabbing it. I'm not touching it. Rest of the show. That's what she said.
Coming up next, we are giving you a pair of tickets to tonight's Bruins game at the Garden. Stay tuned to win.
Here's what's brewing. Fueled by Dunkin' Donuts. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hang with the Hub crew and Budweiser tonight at Sports Grill Boston for a Bruins playoff pregame party. Join us before the game starting at 5 and enter to win great prizes. One lucky guest will score an autographed puck from a star Bruins player. Must be 21 plus to participate. No purchases necessary. Brought to you by Budweiser, the legendary lager for legendary moments. And 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This seems like a good time to mention that the 8th Annual Hoosier Caddy Classic is happening Monday, July 16th, 1 o'clock tee time, Atkinson Resort and Country Club, just across the border in Atkinson, New Hampshire. Starting Monday morning at 9 a.m., you can reserve your spot at 98.5thesportshub.com. I can tell you, with this being the 8th Annual, I know how this goes every year. They go fast. So if you want to participate in the tournament, our annual golf tournament, you must go to the website Monday morning, 9 a.m.
Don't be shocked if it sells out early.
Oh, it's going to sell out in minutes. So you want to get there, bookmark the page, set that reminder in your phone, whatever it is, make sure you're ready to go 9 a.m. on Monday to get your spot at 98.5thesportshub.com. It's only $150 per player. All of it goes to benefit the pediatric advanced care team at Boston Children's Hospital. You got people from the sports up there, Maz, Rich, Hardy, Sports Hub crew will be there. A day of golf, great lunch, great auction items, great everything.
Shockingly good time.
Not a sneaky good time. It's electric. Again, it's the Hoosier Caddy Classic Monday, 9 a.m. is how you get those tickets. Our website. Now, what you've all been waiting for. Phone lines have been shut down, so calling early does you no good.
You dummies, you.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group Contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to the Bruins game tonight, Game 4 against Tampa Bay. This is courtesy, and our thanks goes out to AT&T, proud sponsor of the Boston Bruins. AT&T, more for your thing, that's our thing. Caller 10 right now, call the contest line. 617-931-0985. That's how you can win. You call the other number, you can't win. And you might end up on Cliff and Rob's. So call the right number.
That's right.
Caller 10 right
it's
now.
It's a good show, though.
Go. It is a good show. You see Shaughnessy today? You read his column? Catch up on Shaughnessy today?
No, I have not.
I haven't got there yet. Yeah. He says, Brad Stevens spends the better part of every home game standing just a few feet from the Red Auerbach signature stenciled into the Garden's parquet floor. Red would enjoy that. He'd take a puff of his Hoyo de Monterey double Corona, sit back in his seat and say, you know, this kid we got coaching us is pretty damn good. Indeed. Maybe Brad Stevens can bring Amazon to Boston. Maybe he can figure out a way to eliminate all the rush hour traffic. Maybe he can fix David Price and make everything good again between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. The man can do anything. Just look at what he is doing to the Philadelphia 76ers. He said, Stevens and the Celtics did more than just win a game. They pantsed the Sixers. They crushed their souls. They maybe took away Philly's will to live this playoff spring. When it was over in the midnight hour, ever flatlined Stevens sent all the credit elsewhere saying, this was a win largely attributed to the unbelievable effort of our players and the other 18,000 people in here. It's the humble Hoosier way, but we know better, right, Shaughnessy. Then he talks about the fact that Philly had come in having won 20-21, how they were the favorite in this series, how they were the flavor of the month, and how the Vegas wise guys bought it. And now the Celtics are up 2-0 in the series. And I think that's really the question here. Will Philadelphia have a response? Hardy and Zoe seem to think they're not, that they're kind of dead in the water. That last night, as Shaughnessy writes, crushed their soul. And when you have that happen to you, as Shaughnessy also writes, your will to live maybe dissipates. And you don't have that response.
That will thing, man, it's one of the most underrated things in sports. Hardy's right on this. I don't know. There's something about Philly when you watch them. You can tell they're talented, but I don't know how they come back from this. You wanted Boston. You begged for Boston. Your fans chanted their name. And he went to their building and got your ass kicked twice. I guess it wasn't an ass kick, and they had to come back. But the way you lose games has a big impact on how the rest of the series or your approach to playing that team again goes.
I go back to game one.
Because now it's in your head. Your superstar, yeah. Ben Simmons, got held to one freaking point.
Post-game, game one, Brett Brown said, this isn't us. Right, this isn't what our team is all about. This isn't who we are. And we all sort of said, yeah, no, he's right. They didn't. Yep. They were not at their best. They didn't play well. What do you say after game two? You know, if game one wasn't who you are, what was game two? Is that who you are now? Are you what? Willing to say that, or are you still not back to normal?
So you were at the beginning of the game, but then you got your ass adjusted.
Right, wouldn't you say that when you're up 22, that's who we are, but then you lose?
Oh, no, no, the Celtics... Remember last game we said, oh, they're not going to miss that many shots again, and guys like not Yabusele, but Ogilvy and Larkin aren't going to hit threes. Baines isn't going to hit a couple threes, and that's not going to happen. Well, none of that happened. Redick was lights out. Bellinelli was lights out. Embiid had a great game, and they still won. What now?
Hope for more from Ben Simmons?
Well, yeah, that's really it, mean, right? Even Covington was hitting shots, and McConnell came in and gave him something. They contributed from all areas in that game. They had great. Ben Simmons is the only one that had a bad game.
You heard it right there from Gil. Gil just laid it all out for you right there.
Gil?
You're
Oh, I know.
You know who Gil is?
You have to explain that reference.
Oh, Gil is the name.
Jim has no idea why you're calling him Gil.
For anybody ever have seen that movie, The Fan, Jim is Robert De Niro cheering on, hey, Bobby! Bobby! His name was Gil in that movie, The Fan. Jim is Super Green Man right now. And he's filming it, and he has taken his victory lap. And he's peacocking.
All right, tell me what I said wasn't wrong. Tell me what I said was wrong.
Dude, you got me, Bob. I'm on Team Jim here.
I did not believe the Celtics.
You got my man five sitting over here. Jim, I said six. I got five
over
here next to me.
I think they got a real shot here. A real shot to win this thing, of course. How could you not?
Jim, up 2-0, get shot.
Because, I think
over.
They could go to Philadelphia and this could get tied up 2-2. I don't think the Sixers are dead yet.
Game three is. You have to bet Philly if you're a gambling man. Game three, you have to bet Philly.
Yes.
That's the classic down 2-0.
Mortal
team
lock.
Goes back home, a young team. Crowd's going to be amped up. 5 o'clock on a Saturday.
Oh, bad time slot, everything.
5 o'clock. And I always say that about 5 o'clock Saturday games.
Sneak 5.
Oh, never something you want to be on the road for.
5 o'clock and Philly fans are Cinco de Mayo. It's all
at stacked. 5 on the 5th?
At 5.
Is it Maya?
It's Mayo.
Mayo.
Singing in Mayo.
I don't know. You're thinking of Mayo. I'm going to party Saturday.
Oh, you're going to party on Saturday?
No. I'm just hoping to get through the show.
What's different from last? I mean, it's Saturday. Is there ever a Saturday you don't party?
Now you got 10 o'clock practice and you got a 5 o'clock minor league baseball game. Yeah.
Minor league baseball game?
Yeah.
You're going
He's in the minors. Yeah.
Oh, already. Sorry.
He's in the minors?
Well, they have there's four different slots.
Hardy, they call it AA, AAA, majors.
Oh, yeah. Minors, okay. Farm, right. Majors.
So is that based on talent? What is that based on?
Based on age.
Size.
Age, size.
I think it's age. And then
he's in the Yeti League.
You get like older, like 10, 11, 12, it's kind of like talent, age, combo.
Did you get him a new
combo.
Bat? Did you get him a new bat?
Did get him a new bat. Okay, lighter bat, yep.
Good. Jim and I
He's almost
that.
As big as Rex Burkhead now, so he's very
Called
excited,
it, Jim. So. Called it.
Sneaky good guy, that Burkhead guy.
Called it. What's like I called Jaylen Brown playing last night?
What's his launch angle like?
By the way.
Launch angle? You don't know. They put him on a tee the other day because they're having a tough time hitting the ball right now.
I've seen a little
video. So they got
video.
The tee just to...
Very flat.
Yeah, it's...
Flat launch angle.
He's hit swinging
line drives.
Francis below the ball. Yeah,
a lot of line drives.
I had to put one kid on the tee last night. I feel bad. It's just embarrassing, you know?
What do you mean?
You feel bad. Like, it's coach pitch, but, like, if a kid...
Oh.
It's like 10, 11, 12 pitches. You got to, like, get the game moving along.
Because he can't hit.
Yeah, he's like 4 years old.
He's not very good. He's not very good.
Well, no, he's 4 playing in a...
4.
Probably shouldn't be in the league, but that's 4. Okay.
There you go. There's your answer. Probably shouldn't be in the league, okay?
Well, he's learning. He's 4.
I'm not saying
I've seen your swing. You look like a 4-year-old sometimes.
But I would not put myself in a wiffle ball league.
I know you wouldn't. Headlines.
Know the room.
At the top of this noontime hour.
Millennials.
It's Friday. Josie is next. 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.